You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, Gateway Church. It's so great to be here with you this morning. Are you ready to come around the Word of God? What an incredible song we've been singing over the last few weeks, and we've had a teaching series around that song, Jesus, You Alone. It's You Alone, Jesus, who we just love, who we serve, who we are in relationship with. Jesus, we're just so glad that You're a part of our lives and that we can see You so clearly. Jesus, You alone. Jesus, You alone are the way. Jesus, You alone are the truth. And Jesus, You alone are life. And these are three incredible statements that Jesus spoke about to Thomas. And I really want to center the Word of God and our teaching around this today. Jesus, You alone are the way, the truth, and the life. And John says this in chapter 14, verses 6. Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union, relationship with me. To know me is to know my Father too. Do you realize that this was an answer from Jesus in response to a question? Thomas, Jesus' disciple, said to Jesus, Jesus, how do we know the way? And this relationship between Jesus and Thomas, this was a relationship of value, one where you could rely on, one where you could learn from. And for Thomas, right in this moment, was the unknown for him. And for all of us today, there will be significant moments that place our lives in the unknown. And a choice will be presented to us just as it was presented to Thomas. For some of us, the unknown can cause us to retreat. Or you can take that confusion, just as Thomas did, and ask the question from the place of the unknown. And when you do, you will become stronger and you will become more informed. And that's what happened when Thomas asked Jesus that question. He became stronger, it was clarified to his confusion, and he became more informed. Thomas heard truth in his confusion. Jesus said, I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth and I am the life. In Jesus, you will find one who listens. And listening reveals people's feelings. It's not enough to think that you've understood the other person. The aim is that the other person should feel understood by you. And we see this in this relationship and this confidence that Thomas has in asking Jesus the question. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says this, I love those who love me and those who seek me early. Isn't that a wonderful key? Seek me early and diligently shall find me. When our life faces the unknown and we need understanding, the first thing is to seek Him early and turn to Jesus alone. Jesus, You alone are the way. Jesus, You alone are our truth. And this morning, Jesus alone, You alone are my life. So let's look at part one, Jesus. Jesus, You alone are the way. What does that mean? Have you ever been lost? Well, I've been lost many a times. Hotel rooms are very challenging for me. I never know which way to go to get to my room. But have you ever been lost? And you ask for directions and someone comes to help you. They give you the street names, they give you the numbers, they give you locations, they give you shops that you can pass by. And as you are asking this person for directions, they verbally give you this list, but then they leave you to it. And when they leave you to it, you'll probably find most times that you'll find yourself lost. But suppose that this person in the moment doesn't leave you, doesn't just give you a list, just doesn't give you instructions and street names, but says to you, hey, you don't know where you're going. Let me show you. Let me tell you how to get there. I'll actually guide you and you can follow me. Do you realize that you'll actually get to your destination point? You won't get lost along the way. In that case, the person to us is the way. We cannot miss it. We land at our destination. And this is what Jesus does. He leads us all the way. We're never going to miss our points of destination because Jesus will guide you the whole way. Psalm 27, verse 11. Now teach me all about your ways and tell me what to do. Make it so clear for me to understand, for I am surrounded by waiting enemies. Teach me, tell me, make it clear to understand. Jesus takes the initiative to reach out and call to us, longing for us to respond to him. He asks us to listen. He asks us to hear him so that we can follow his ways. Why? Because he doesn't want you to miss out on every good plan, every good promise he has destined for your life. You know, when faced by enemies, there's always going to be pain. There's always going to be confusion. But our pain is designed to reveal to us, to reveal to you, what maybe needs attention. But are you listening to it? Can I encourage you to take a pause and listen to what you may need to hear? Because maybe Jesus is trying to show you a new way, a better way. Isaiah 30, incredible scripture in verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, Jesus is saying here that you will hear. You will hear a voice behind you leading you. This is the way. This is the way to walk in it. You see, the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead your pain to truth. Who is truth this morning? It is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is all truth, will set your pain, will set your confusion completely free. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you to Jesus this morning. I saw this incredible story in Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, and he shares this story. You know, several years ago, he was sitting in his office and walking down the hallway, there was a lady that walked past him, and this lady just noticed that Dr. Chapman's door was open to his office, and she just knocked on it and said, do you have a minute? Can I talk to you? And he said, sure, come in. She said, Dr. Chapman, I've got a problem. I cannot get my husband to paint our bedroom. I've been at him for 9 months. And Dr. Chapman very patiently said, tell me about it. She said, last Saturday, there was incredible weather. Do you know what I found my husband doing? All day long, he was cleaning out the computer files. And Dr. Chapman said to her, well, what did you do? I went in there and I said, I don't understand you. Today would have been a perfect day, perfect weather to paint the bedroom. And here I see you're using all your time to work on the computer. And Dr. Chapman said, well, did he paint the bedroom? No, he didn't paint the bedroom. It's still not painted. And I just don't know what to do. He said to her, are you sure that your husband knows that you want him to paint the bedroom? She said, I'm completely sure after 9 months of telling him so. Then he said, let me ask you one more question. Does your husband ever do anything good? And she said, well, like what? And he said, well, taking out the rubbish, putting petrol in the car, doing the dishes, maybe helping you get the kids ready for school. And she said, well, yeah, he does do some of those things. And he turned to her and he said, I have two suggestions for you. One, don't ever mention painting the bedroom again. I don't see how that's going to help, she said. He knows. You've told him for 9 months. You've communicated it. He knows. Don't tell him again. And the second suggestion I have is the next time your husband does anything good and tries a new way of doing things, can I get you to compliment him? Appreciate him verbally on the task that he has just done for you. And every time he does something good, give him a verbal compliment. I don't see how that's going to get the bedroom paint painted. And she walked off. And he said, well, you asked for my advice. I said it. It's for free. She wasn't very happy when she left. But 3 weeks later, 3 weeks later, she came back to his office and said, it worked. It worked. She had learned that just by a different way of going about things in her relationships, that she could see not only that bedroom get painted, but there was a revelation to a new way of doing things that produced new outcomes. And many times, as we all know, verbal compliments. Husbands, wives, friends, bosses, verbal compliments are far better, are far greater than nagging words. Amen? Amen. Many times we find ourselves in this place. How do we respond when we ask for advice? Are we reactionary or are we responsive? You see, truth cannot be conveyed in mere words. It must be conveyed in example. And Jesus alone was the perfect embodiment of grace and truth. And when you walk in his ways, your path is also filled with grace, with truth, and incredible, lovely verbal words from a God who loves you and wants to compliment you. Psalm 86:11 says, teach me more about you. Teach me more about you, Jesus, how you work and how you move, so that I can walk onward in your truth until everything within me brings honor to your name. Part two this morning, Jesus, you alone are the truth. Jesus, you alone are the way. But Jesus, you alone are my truth this morning. Many have taught the truth, but only Jesus could say, I am the truth. No teacher has ever embodied the truth he taught except for Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. What truth do you hold on to this morning? What truth through experience with walking with Jesus do you hold on as your own truth today? For me, there's one truth that I hold to. It is only Jesus. After over 40 years of walking with Jesus, I have learned it is only Jesus who can really, truly satisfy me and make me happy. So I'll trust him explicitly. I'll trust him in the valleys. I'll trust him on top of the mountaintops. I will trust him. He is the only one. After 40 years of walking with him that I know can make me truly happy, even if I don't see all the things that he has shown me in my heart and my spirit, I will hold on to him in faith because I know that if I'm not meant to see it in reality, it's okay. because Jesus is the only one who can truly satisfy me and can truly make me happy. So I place my whole being, I place my mind, I place my heart, I place my emotions, my marriage, my relationships, my future. Hear me, church, this morning. I place my future in His hands. What truth do you hold on to this morning? What truth guides your way today? In 3 John chapter 1, verses 3, look at this incredible truth. I was filled with joy and delight when the brothers arrived and informed me of your faithfulness to the truth. They told me how you live continually in the truth of Christ. You can live continually in the truth of Christ this morning. I want to share this story with you. A couple of weeks ago, I found myself in this unknown place, just like Thomas. He was just unaware in this moment, and I felt myself in this same place of the unknown. Have you ever found yourself in the place of the unknown? I'm sure you have. And it was a new space, unknown, and I could feel all these thoughts coming into my mind like darts and just penetrating my mind with just confusion and just too many words in my head. And it was coming from all directions. But you know what happens when so many thoughts crowd your mind? What can rise is instability. You feel like where you're in this moment of you're not sure what the truth is. You're not sure where your peace is. And you feel like you're in a place of instability. And I felt the words of the Spirit of God come from my spirit who lives and dwells inside of me and said these words to me, untangle your thoughts. Untangle your thoughts. I heard the Holy Spirit say, just because thoughts come into your head doesn't mean that you have to own them. Doesn't mean that you have to believe them or adopt them into your mindset. Let me, the Spirit of God, who is all truth, who comes with grace and loveliness and compassion, not harshness, loveliness, let me come in and help you untangle those thoughts. I don't want you to adopt those mindsets because they're not your thoughts. Thoughts that come from the enemy, thoughts that just come from the new spaces that you're in. Let me help you untangle your thoughts. Truth can release shame. Truth can release confusion. It's Jesus Christ who is truth, and it is the Spirit of God who will always, always lead you to all truth. And it's peace. It's not peace as the world gives. It's peace from the kingdom of God. It surpasses all understanding. And in that moment when I heard the Spirit of God through all those other thoughts, I knew I could fix my hold. I could fix my attention to what is sounding lovely, what is sounding peaceful, what is sounding true. The Holy Spirit wants you to fix your mind upon the words of Jesus Christ. And when you do, you become one with those words. And you know what happens? Peace is released. I came in one way, feeling confused, lacking clarity, but I went out a completely different way, full of peace, full of clarity. My feet were no longer on sinking sand. They were on a steady, sure foundation. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. So how do you deal with confrontation with yourself? Thoughts that have come from pain, or maybe thoughts that have come from choices you've made. Do we retreat or do we move forward? Excuses, delays, avoidant behaviors, oh, they can arise. We can testify to that. But if we continue to react with these choices, we can miss freedom of shame, freedom of confusion through clarity and direction of Jesus Christ. But by allowing truth, allowing Jesus to guide you, to come into your thoughts with a greater way of truth, confusion will have to go. He is the only one that can untangle your thoughts. This is the good news. Jesus, who is all truth, is the only one who can untangle your thoughts. You are not alone in confrontation. How do you deal with confrontation with yourself? Not alone. You do it with Jesus Christ and the word that is truth that sets you free. So how do we keep the critical voices out of our heads? You have to feed on his word. Feed on his word so you know what truth, so you know what goodness, so you know what loveliness sounds like. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And Philippians 4:8 says, fix your mind on these things. Psalm 25 verse 5, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope, my reliance, my trust is in you all day long. Take me by the hand and teach me, Jesus. I have wrapped my heart into yours. John chapter 8, verse 32. For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom in to your lives. It will set you free. Jesus, you alone are the way. Jesus, you alone. You are our truth. You are our steady, sure foundation this morning. And part three, Jesus, you alone. You alone are the life. In John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10, it says, so Jesus went over it again. I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me are thieves who came to steal, but the sheep never listened to them. I am the gateway. I am the gateway. And to enter through me is to experience life and freedom and satisfaction. But a thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, he wants to slaughter, and he wants to destroy. But I, Jesus Christ, have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. Jesus said first, I am the gate. And Jesus was speaking in this parable of two kinds of sheepfolds. And I want you to pay attention because there's an incredible revelation, an incredible life that God wants to breathe into your spirit this morning. In the villages, there were communal sheepfolds that were sheltered for when they returned at night. So they would be out in the pastures, but the shepherd would bring the sheep in at night, and they could bring them in to these communal sheepfolds, and they were protected by huge gates of which the guardian of the door held the key. But when the sheep were out in the hills in summertime, they didn't need to come back into the village. They could stay out in the pastures. And when they did not return, they went into sheepfolds in the hillside. The hillside sheepfolds were just open spaces. Imagine it, three walls, but there was no door like the one in the village. Out on the mountaintop, there was no door, there was no gateway, there was no key. There was an opening, so all the sheep could be enclosed, but there was that one gate, there was that one door that was still an opening. The sheep could come in, the sheep could go back in, but there was no door. So what happened was that at night, that the shepherd, listen to this, the shepherd would lay across that door, would lay across that gateway. He would be at the opening of the entrance so that no sheep could get out without him knowing, that no enemy could come in without that shepherd awaking and being notified. There was no access to the sheepfold without going over the shepherd. But this is a human shepherd. But Jesus, who is the good shepherd, the Bible says, he has risen from the grave. He has been died, but was risen 3 days later. He has taken incredible costs so that he could be the good shepherd for your life. Jesus is our shepherd. And because he gave his life for us, he stands victorious. He stands with authority. He stands conquering disease, conquering sin, conquering death. That's the shepherd who now stands at the door. He stands in between you and the enemy. He knows what is trying to attack you. He knows what's trying to enter into your family. And he stands there as your protection, as powerful and more than victorious. Jesus is our shepherd. And because he gave his life for us, he stands victorious in between us and the enemy that would try to steal, kill, and destroy, because he came to give you life and life more abundantly. When Jesus said, "I am the gate, the door," through him and him alone, we can find access to God. Jesus alone opens the way to God. And once we discover Jesus Christ, what God is like, a new sense of safety and security enters into our life. And if we place our lives in the hands of God the Father, the worries and the fears are gone. Amen, church? The worries and the fears are gone. When we walk with Jesus, when we know his presence in our lives, there comes a super abundance of life. And it is only when we live in Christ. Jesus, you alone are our way, our truth, our life. I'm going to end with this Psalm 121. You will be guarded by God himself. Good news this morning. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and he'll protect you forevermore. John 10:7. So Jesus went over it again. I speak to you the eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. Church, I believe this morning that we're going to come into an incredible time where you can receive a revelation of the good shepherd in your life. Will you just come into this moment? Close your eyes and receive the word of God as I declare it over to you. Psalm 23, the good shepherd. The Lord is my best friend. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. He takes me to an oasis of the peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Amen.